Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and today's podcast is an amazing one. We're going to interview Dr. Mary Simpson, Mary Christina Simpson, one of my great friends, and we're going to chat all about hormones and sexual health.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Last time we were together was in Vegas doing this, so this is perfect.
We did. I had her speak at our biohacking beauty session. It was so freaking popular. We're doing it again this year. So if you're at AMSPA this year, biohacking beauty, we're going to have an amazing panel. And Mary Christina, you spoke about women's sexual health and hormones.
Yes.
Tell us your background for those of you who don't know her. She is all the way from Rhode Island.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So I am an OBGYN by training, and I have practiced for about 27 years now. And I entered the medical spa space probably about 8 years ago, and am the founder of CMIST Med Spa in Rhode Island, and have really integrated a lot of women's health and sexual wellness into my practice, as well as the medical aesthetics.
Is that so refreshing for your women clients to walk into an OB-GYN office where it's like pleasant and uplifting and you can fix your face, fix your down belows, everything, all in one spot?
Well, so I retired from OB and I made it strictly medical aesthetics with almost a concierge practice of hormone replacement for women, because as I found in my career, there was such a lack of availability of women to actually talk to people about women's health and sexual wellness in the 15-minute interval they had at their normal OBGYN appointment. And women have a lot of questions.
Honestly, they do. And it's unanswered questions that for so many years, the Women's Health Initiative suppressed estrogen for two generations of women, like 20 years. 20 years of women have not received estrogen hormone replacement.
And they took women off of these hormones, which were making them very happy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot of bone disease, and we had a lot of, you know, very unhappy women.
A lot
yes.
of frailty in
yes.
women was created. And, like, I'm sure that everyone did it in good, you know, with good thoughts and wanting to avoid breast cancer risk. But menopause has been having a moment.
It has.
This whole past year and a half, I've been so thrilled to hear this conversation spoken out loud and proudly and really bringing to light how women have been suffering quietly and explaining these symptoms that you didn't know were part of your perimenopause.
Right, and then just making them part of the normal where it wasn't normal and it doesn't need to be normal. And for so many years, women were, as you said, suppressing this. And now that we see women living to nearly 100, you know, there's 50 years left of life. And so why hide all of these things and why feel not your best self if you can do something about it?
Literally, like women, the average age of menopause is like 51, 52.
51, 52, especially in a Caucasian population. Mm-hmm. And women, though, are experiencing symptoms in as early as their late 30s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people undergoing IVF treatments and, you know, cancer treatments and things like that, you know, with lifestyle changes can go through menopause a lot sooner than, you know, 50, 51.
Mm-hmm. And why is this not taught better in med school and residency and postgraduate training for doctors? Because literally, I also went through that experience of feeling like brain fog and not myself. And then I go talk to the doctor and they're like, it's normal, it's part of life, you don't need to worry, just let it, it'll pass. And they're like, I asked for hormones, and they're like, no, that's not what you do, you just let it taper off naturally. So frustrating.
It is.
I'm like pissed that I didn't have those 5 years of vitality.
I know, and you know what, I trained at a very wonderful institution in Rhode Island, and it was, you know, highly accredited. And we had very little training on menopause during the residency. And then even in our, you know, in the early office years that I did, it was when the Women's Health Initiative was coming out and all we knew was take women off, it's negative.
Right.
We didn't have any other solutions for women. You know, we really focused on, you know, is your pap normal? Is your mammogram normal? And not really delving into how do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And why are you feeling lousy and what can we do about it?
Well, so much research now points to the fact that almost every cell in the human body has estrogen receptors or some form of estrogen sensitivity, including neurologic tissues and brain.
Correct.
So, like, what are some of the nice positives women can expect to see when they go on hormones?
So, again, estrogen is not the only hormone. We have progesterone and testosterone, which we found are uber important. You really have to talk to women about what they're feeling. Are they feeling the brain fog? Are they feeling the fatigue? Are they having hair loss? Are they having skin elasticity changes? Are they breaking their bones? Like, are they having any major things? But most of the time you find women just saying, listen, my moods are all over the place. I can't sleep anymore. You know, I don't have the energy that I used to have. I can't remember anything. I'm working in this high-powered job and I'm at a meeting. I'm having hot flashes all the time. Mm-hmm. And all of these really aggravating symptoms don't need to happen. You know, we do have things. So when we look at treating women, we look at what symptoms they're having and what would best treat that. Mm-hmm. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's very,
very individualized, yes. Actually. Yeah.
And there are many treatment options. So it's no longer just a pill or a patch. You know, we have pills, gels, creams, injections, you know, depending on what hormones you need. And, you know, do you have a uterus still there? Do you need progesterone, you know, to balance that?
Yeah, and then there is controversy, too, about pellets. Do you need to do bioidenticals? Should you do pellets? Are they hard to adjust? Do you have any thoughts on that?
So I think that my original training, you know, with the American Academy of Obstetrics and Gynecology looked poorly against things that were not FDA approved. But as you know, in the field of aesthetics, we do a lot of things off-label. And we have to, you know, really treat the woman for what is going to work best for their lifestyle. And I do have women that don't remember to use their pills every day and don't remember to use their gels or creams every day. And that is really disruptive to the body that's already going through all of these hormonal changes. So I think that pellets do have a place. They are not for everyone. They do super physiologically dose people, so you're going to find when you're testing the blood that their levels are much higher than they would be if, you know, you were normally treating them. There are really a lack of options for women, especially in the testosterone realm, in this country. You know, there's a lot of talk about how do we get testosterone FDA approved in women's doses.
Because, or even get it prescribed. It's
correct.
Like it's considered like an illegal substance that you have to have so
the
many
control
layers of security
yes,
to
yes.
get a prescription that most yes. Most general doctors just don't bother. And you have to really find a specialist who has those prescriptions and willing to prescribe it.
But, I mean, with that being said, just like in the field of aesthetics, you need to have someone who's trained because it is could be dangerous in high levels.
Yes.
You know, and by dangerous, the side effect profile really changes. Mm-hmm. And in low doses, it works extremely well in women for energy, lean muscle mass, libido, all of those things. And women, you know, now are walking around with their weighted vest trying to protect their bone health.
That's me.
Right. And it's wonderful. But, you know, to optimize health, you want to feel, you know, we're not looking like we're in our 50s now. You know, we're looking like we're significantly younger. And so how do you feel that way physically? And testosterone is a key hormone, you know, in keeping people energized and, you know, fit.
Yeah, it keeps you ambitious and you have your drive and your motivation. And
right. And you don't want it to be too high because you don't want negative things, but you do want to keep it level. And that's the challenge I think a lot of general practice doctors have is they're just not versed in it. And so they'd rather find a specialist that can help them.
Yeah, I think a lot of times you have to do so much of your own homework and be, you know, a detective and find a friend who's already on it and seems to be doing great and then find their doctor that they're using. You have to do some legwork. I wish there was a resource that in every city, these are the people, right?
Well, and I think that, you know, you have to be an advocate for your own health, too. You have to not say that, oh, you know, I'm going to accept all of these things. You
yes.
know, you say that I want to change,
exactly.
you know, and I want to still feel
that's
my
kind
best.
Of like the whole premise of the biohacking mindset that, like, we know these modern beauty and modern technologies out there that can help you reset and stay. Like, I want to stay at my 30, 35-year-old self for a long time. Mm-hmm. And if we have the peptides, the hormones, and all of the aesthetic treatments that we can do right now, honestly, I think that's possible.
It is, and I think that none of us are pretending that aging isn't happening. We all are very
embracing
very, very well embracing it, but trying to make it that it's best that we can feel.
Exactly.
You know, and so
I totally agree.
I think hormones are key in that. And, you know, that also with the weight loss drugs, you know, we're finding that the combination of the GLP-1 drugs and hormones have much better results, especially in women.
Mm-hmm. Now talk a little bit about other aspects of sexual health. Like what can we do when there's atrophy or thinning or changes down below in the Netherlands?
Okay. So I have no problem talking about the Netherlands as a gynecologist. And there are very, very, very safe treatments. Vaginal estrogen is, you know, even approved in women who have had prior cancers. And mm-hmm. so treating locally in that area, if you don't want to do something systemic, and, you know, by systemic, I mean treating the entire body with hormones, you can locally put estrogen down there. A lot of people start with that.
And that helps with lubrication, with thickness, with, like, you know, the thinning and atrophy changes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And all of the blood flow to those tissues,
yeah.
which is what's caused by atrophy. Women can use vaginal estrogen alone as a treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, I also encourage, though, lubrication with intercourse, you know, mm-hmm. with on him, in you, you know, both kind of theory, because I feel like that's extremely important as women age, is to enjoy sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think mm-hmm. that it's no longer a chore. You're past your childbearing years, and there's no reason to not enjoy
mm-hmm.
intercourse.
Exactly. There's also devices. I've seen now red light mm-hmm. for intravaginal use, as well as high-frequency radio energy treatments. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on this?
Sure. So I started actually many years ago, probably over 10 years ago, doing vaginal CO2 laser
mm-hmm.
for women that not only had disease-based processes, but also for lubrication, for incontinence, for those things to help, you know, regenerate the blood vessels in that area. I think areas using radio frequency and red light and anything that's going to increase the blood flow and improve the tissue is going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
When you are taking, you know, systemic hormones, you will get that increased blood flow just because it treats all of the receptors in the body.
Nice.
But like I said, for those people who really just want to treat locally, that's definitely an option. You know, there are also using microneedling technologies
mm-hmm.
with radio frequency
mm-hmm.
to improve the tissue quality on the outside.
Yes.
You know,
because I think women want to look good on the outside down there. They maintain their face, their neck, the chest, and then, like, can't just look like crepey and, you know, forgotten down below.
Correct. But I also think that there is a huge psychological component to sexual intercourse as you get, like I said, out of your childbearing years, and keeping your mental health intact and really wanting to have intercourse and wanting to be sexually active is super important. And women, as you age and, you know, while you go through perimenopause and menopause, have a lot of stressors. You know, your kids
mm-hmm.
are growing up, your career is taking off, you're working.
Your parents are getting older.
Correct.
Yeah,
and
a lot of demands on the poor woman who's
right.
then expected to just, like, let her flower blossom.
Right.
Like, you're not in that mindset
sometimes. And it becomes a lot of mindset. And, you know, women have to give themselves some grace where they say, you know, listen, I need to mentally prepare for this a lot
mm-hmm.
of the time, and they need to be able to be open with their partners about this, because
mm-hmm.
we're not on-demand creatures, you know, and especially when we're stressed, it does
yeah.
have a huge impact on
it
what
does.
We're
and sometimes
feeling.
Women need to take, like you said, well, hormones for sure, topical creams, but even things like Aggie, which is the pink pill that improves female libido.
Yes.
Like, there are sometimes hurdles that pharmacologically need help.
There are, and also pelvic floor physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times after childbearing, your muscles are not as strong and everything, and physical therapy is a tremendous help for some women. You know, or getting treated for things like that we don't like to talk about, but like stress incontinence and, you know, things that happen after having children.
Yeah.
You know, so really, or prolapse, you
mm-hmm.
know, having surgical intervention.
Yes.
So there, you know, again, just like with the face, you can have surgery, you know, pelvically, you can have surgery too to improve things.
Exactly. Tightening and internally or externally,
correct.
Like labiaplasty. And then I think I said that wrong. Is it pronounced Adyee?
Aggie, yeah.
Aggie.
Yeah.
If you want to look that up. ADDYI, I believe.
YI or YE, or one of those. Yeah. But it is used for people who have hyposexual disorders, you know, where they don't have a libido. Again, a lot
it's
of times...
It's the women's Viagra.
Correct. And
that's a big change around the time of menopause, that people do lose some interest and they want to be interested, but they just can't get there mentally.
Or they're on medicines, like sometimes antidepressants and things like that, which do decrease their libido. So it's a very high likelihood that there are multiple reasons why women may not want to have intercourse as frequently as they did. But it's also the contra side. Like, you have the surge of hormones, you know, and so some women may be uber sexually active in this time frame, you know, and especially when you put them on things like testosterone, you know, they then have this rebirth, or they're going through divorce, or they're going through a lot of changes and they find a new partner. So again, very important to talk about, and, you know, to talk about with a practitioner that can help you with these areas.
Well, I love this conversation. I feel like we could go on and on. It's so interesting to me because I think it's the woman's second phase. It's like the reinvention of who you are. And like, you did all your childbearing duties and responsibilities, now you get to rediscover who you really are and what you want to be doing in this next decade or two of health.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't have to worry about getting pregnant. You don't have to worry
right.
about those
Cheers.
Things. Yeah. But I always say to people, you know, when you do have new partners, you really still have to think about the bad things like the sexually transmitted diseases. So when you, you know, just be conscious that just because you have seen a gynecologist, they said everything's all right, still keep going back. Because if you do have new partners, that can come with new challenges, too.
I love it. Where can people find you if they want to dig in and get more information or come visit with you?
Sure. So my Instagram is at cmistmedspa_. I'm located in Rhode Island, and I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Yes, and hopefully we'll be lecturing again on a stage somewhere soon.
That'd be great. Fabulous.
That's it for now, guys. It's Beauty by Dr. K for me. That's DRKAY. And don't forget to check out our website. It's beautybydrk.com, where you can find all of our amazing skincare and products that are so good for keeping you youthful up here through all those perimenopause struggles. The struggles are real, and we're here to help you find the solutions. Love you guys. Stay beautiful.